From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. You think you live in a pretty safe place, but you just heard about a break-in 4 miles away, which isn't close, but it isn't far either, you know? Art Palpitations is on the scene.
I sure am, Tammy, and I don't even know why I drove out here, because as you know, you got customized renter's insurance through GEICO, so your stuff is covered.
Oh, well, that's great. Any sign of crime there, Art?
Just some light littering, Tammy, but like they say, a little litter can lead to a lot.
Wise words. It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, when adult relationships break down, childhood maintenance can often be one of the most fraught issues. But now, for the first time, the Department of Justice, Home Affairs and Migration has published a new set of child maintenance guidelines, along with what will arrive soon, an online calculator. Keith Walsh is a family law solicitor. Good afternoon, Keith.
Good afternoon, John.
Now, are these are guidelines, they're not mandatory.
No, they're guidelines, exactly.
Yeah.
The real game changer is the calculator. Once that comes along and you can input all your data into it, it will come up with a figure. The guidelines really give a rough idea, but without the guidelines, you wouldn't have the calculator. So this is kind of the principles behind it, which is based on consistency, clarity, pragmatism, focusing on what's best for the child and how to ensure that the child gets the right amount of money. And ultimately, the parent, and in most cases, the reality is it's the mother who makes these applications or who's looking for the money rather than the father.
Yeah. And so there seems to be a few principles built into it, i.e. that there's, if say both parents have a job outside the home and are earning, there's a certain amount of money ring fenced for them.
Exactly. And that it used to be called the protected earnings amount. It's now called the self-support or living allowance. And that's about 18,000 gross. So I suppose if you think about it, it's generally the father who'll be paying maintenance. So he has to be left with enough money to house himself, to live, to have a basic standard of living, really. And the maintenance can't force him to go below that. So to some degree, there has to be an incentive for the father to get out of work, to get out of bed in the morning, to go to work. Mm-hmm. If the maintenance is too much, that doesn't work. If it's too little, the mother suffers, obviously, and the children suffer.
Yeah. And is there, I assume that there is, it's taken into account how many days, say, presumably there's this shared custody and children might be with either parent for a certain amount of days. Does that factor in then into how much maintenance?
It does. So it, particularly if you've overnight access. But at the minute, we're in the middle of a housing crisis and a lot of my clients, a lot of fathers just simply move to a parent's house or a brother's house or a friend's house to stay. So they don't have the facility to have overnight access in that accommodation. That's also taken into account. So they're given credit even though they can't have overnight accommodation, because their living situation simply doesn't allow it. So so what they might do instead is maybe have a lot more afternoon, evening access. They might have the children at the weekends for a full weekend, but they have to drop them back at night because they simply don't have the place for kids to sleep. And that's really, that is a huge problem at the minute.
Yeah, but even in that scenario, they're feeding them, let's say.
Exactly, yeah.
So, I don't know, was this calculated by the hour? Or
it's only a guideline, so it gives you an idea. But I mean, if you think about it, if you're living with your parents and you have to be out of the house all the time, you're not going to necessarily, sometimes you'll have the children there with their grandparents, but if it's, you know, if it's a shared house or something else, you have to be out all the time. So your actual, you mightn't, you know, your actual costs of living are going to be higher because you're simply not able to be in the house as you would have been if you were there in the family home. And generally at the end of a separation or divorce, it's the father who leaves the family home because he would tend not to get always, in a lot of cases, not to get 50-50 custody, and the mother will be left in the house currently at the minute. Now that's changing slightly, but it still tends to be the mother who would get greater parental custody, if you like.
Yeah. Are those, I mean, at the moment, would it be the case that those custody payments are not, but maintenance payments are, can be traded off to a certain extent against, we're going to have to sell the family home and this is the percentage people get, and or pensions?
Yeah, well, if you think about it, if instead of a sale of the family home, if there's some equity, it may be open in terms of trying to do a deal to preserve the family home, that you should be getting maintenance of 1,000 a month, and you say, well, look, I'll take 500 on the basis you give me greater equity in the family home, or maybe I don't take as much of your pension, or I take more of your pension, or So I think when you're dealing with a separation or divorce, there's a load of moving factors, and what you want to do is try and accommodate what's best, the best outcome for your client or for both parties ultimately, and for the children. So in that scenario, maintenance is a bit of a movable feast in that it's one of a number of things that are open for negotiation. Most of the maintenance cases, apart from separation or divorce, take place in the district court, and they're to do with unmarried parents. And they're the cases that really will hugely benefit from both the child maintenance guidelines and ultimately the calculator, because it'll allow people to determine themselves a fair amount of maintenance. So you could easily see a couple, particularly an unmarried couple, who are saying, well, okay, I'm not sure what maintenance I should be getting. Why don't we put it into the calculator, which is relatively straightforward. I've seen demonstrations of it. It seems like a great idea. Why don't we put in the maintenance into the calculator? And if we both, that's kind of a fair and neutral way of doing it. So I do think it'll take a lot of cases away from disputes and potentially away from the courts, except when you might need an order to enforce the maintenance. If people stop paying it, you know.
Yeah. And for things like if one of the children or more than one of the children has special needs, for instance, does it take that into account?
No, it specifically doesn't take a number of things into account. One of them would be if one of the children had additional needs or a disability. Where there's more than three children, it doesn't deal with those. Where one of the people or both maybe have high incomes, where one of the parents might have a lot of financial assets, where there's maybe very serious childcare expenses, as there can be. Like if you think about it, when there's two parents working and there's younger children, and really until they go to primary school, your childcare can be prohibitively expensive. Maybe where there's additional medical needs or educational needs or where you have private schools. But in your kind of more straightforward cases, what the guidelines say that, look, while there'll be a figure for maintenance, in a lot of cases, if the incomes are more or less equal, you'll probably split things like childcare 50-50 if the incomes are equal. If the incomes, one has a greater income than the other, it won't be a 50-50. Maybe the cost of education, back to school, Christmas, they'd be kind of split. Medical expenses over and above VHI or orthodontic, all of that stuff. So that might be on top of the maintenance as well.
Yeah. So, and at the moment, in your experience, is too much court time used up with couples fighting over this kind of stuff?
Particularly in the district court, I think there's somewhere over 10,000 or just below 10,000 couples per year going just for maintenance. So that's an awful lot of people in relation to fairly straightforward non-married couples where it, you know, the maximum is 150 per week in the district court. But people who are married or who have slightly greater incomes, they would generally not be in the district court. But certainly for those straightforward ones, I think the maintenance calculator is going to be a game changer. I think it'll assist people generally. And I'm glad it doesn't deal with very complex situations, because it really is built for straightforward ones. And I think it'll hugely assist people and ultimately children.
Yeah. Though, I mean, implicit in it is, well, you know, if you go to court with your argument over maintenance, the judge is going to look at the calculator. We can look at it now, and that's what you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, and again, the judges are likely, I would have thought, in the longer run, to adopt the type of maintenance calculator results, except in hard cases. So there may be some cases where it just isn't right, and you've no choice, and you say, actually, you know what, this just doesn't seem right, and you might get legal advice. But in an awful lot of cases, I would have thought, particularly the straightforward ones, the child maintenance calculator will really be a great tool for couples, and particularly help couples who maybe want to mediate or who want to resolve things amicably and who can maybe agree on access, custody and all the other things. So I think particularly where there's no assets or where it's only maintenance and custody access, I think it's going to be a huge help to people.
Yeah. And might it also have the effect, you think, of it might nudge couples more towards mediation now?
I think so. I mean, it's, if you like, it's a kind of a fairly neutral arbiter, provided it works well. But I mean, I've seen a demonstration of it, and there's no reason to think it wouldn't work well. It won't suit every case, but it'll suit a lot of cases, and it'll spare people the expense, first of all, of court, and second of all, the difficulties and the traumas and the uncertainty. And you know, I think it's another reason for people to behave fairly towards each other, and the more things we can have to keep people out of the family courts, I think the better.
Yeah. Should they make mediation mandatory?
Well, the problem with making it mandatory is cases where there's domestic violence, where you might have one partner who is maybe financially or economically controlling. So I think subject to there being sufficient safeguards in relation to that situation, and also where one parent or one of the couples is maybe not as financially savvy. What we find is you get a number of people maybe who are trying to use mediation as a cover to get a deal done with somebody else, as opposed to in good faith. So in good faith is good, but when it's not in good faith, it can be used as a tool to either continue domestic violence or to continue economic, if you like, to continue to not really be upfront about finances. And I mean, I do quite a lot of this, and I'm always surprised at the number of people who don't have joint bank accounts where one person has control of all the finances or the money. And so that can be a feature in cases.
Yeah.
So I think mediation is a good idea. I think making it mandatory might go just a step too far.
Yeah. And any idea, or have they said when this calculator will become available?
It's supposed to be out in the coming weeks. So I think as soon as it comes out, I think it will make an instant change and impact, and I'll be trying it out for my clients as well, and for people to see, well, what are the results.
Yeah. Keith, thanks so much for coming in to tell us about that. That was the family law solicitor Keith Walsh there.
Moncrief weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.